the church this morning. We're glad to have so many visitors. That's probably one reason why our singing was so good today. We're visitors from all over places, and we like to sing songs that you would be familiar with, and we appreciate your participation. Among our visitors today, we have my brother and sister on the front row here with us. He led the prayer. And another young man that's with us that is starting to school at UTMB in physical therapy. His name is Gabe Poland. Everybody turn around and Gabe, stand up so everybody will know who you are. We're glad to have Gabe and his parents. His father is a physical therapist, so maybe the plan is for him to go into work with his father after he graduates. But we hope Gabe will be a part of our group, an active part. While he claims he can't lead singing yet, he hadn't finished school or finished our work with him in this congregation. Who knows what he will be doing by the time he graduates. Our reading this morning is a story that is found in Matthew chapter 11, and it's also found in the Gospel of Luke. And we will not have time to read both accounts of the story, but let me just say that whenever a story is repeated in more than one gospel, it is good to study all the readings of it because each will give a little detail that the other omits. It is an interesting story because it tells about Jesus' reaction when someone who has been his supporter has expressed doubt and perhaps impatience with him in what Jesus is doing. It may surprise us that the main character of the story is John the Baptist. Now, the background to the story is that John the Baptist has been imprisoned by Herod because John the Baptist had preached a very strong sermon and rebuked Herod for his relationship with Herodias, who had been his brother's wife originally, but Herod had wooed her away, and John the Baptist said frankly to him, it's not lawful for you to have her as your wife. That led to Herodias's hatred for John the Baptist. And finally, in a series of events, she was able to convince her daughter to ask Herod, who had promised to grant a wish, and that wish was to have John the Baptist's head on a platter. And so John has been confined in this terrible situation awaiting execution. And that's the background to our story. Matthew chapter 11. After Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. When John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" And Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold on it. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who was to come. He who has ears, let him hear. John the Baptist sent two of his closest disciples to inquire of Jesus this question: are you he who is to come, or should we look for another? If we were to think in terms of our own experiences, it would be like at this time of year in our political season, we have different candidates who are announcing, and perhaps if you can imagine that there would be one candidate that a large group of people wanted to announce for office, and were backing him, and he was doing things that looked like he might be interested in running for office. But after a period of time, he makes no announcement, and those who are his supporters would send someone to meet with him and say, well, are you going to run, or should we get someone else? That's kind of the flavor of this text. I have read this passage several times and have tried to get into John the Baptist's mindset. Two things seem to me to be apparent in his raising this question. There is, of course, the commonly thought idea that John the Baptist was wondering whether Jesus was the Christ. Was he expressing doubt and wondered if he had invested his life wrongly, following and believing an idea that was not true? That is a lamentable state of mind. Sometimes Christians run into things that cause us to momentarily doubt our faith. One of the wisest advice that I received when I was a college student was from Dr. Frank Pack. I asked him, because I knew he had been through higher education and had a PhD from a secular institution, and so I asked him, well, what do you do when you run into problems with your faith? And he said, well, you'll run into those questions that you have. He said, what I did, I always said, I'll study that later. And I'm sure there's an answer. I don't know it now, but I'll study it later. And so it never caused him to lose faith. He simply waited until he was better prepared to deal with the question. And I followed that, and have followed that through the years. I don't know if there's any believer who hasn't at times, in moments of life, wondered, is this really true? Did Jesus Christ rise from the dead? Is there a judgment to come? Or is this life all there is to it? Sometimes we pause to think about that because of the circumstances of our life. Certainly it is true that you would understand that to be a reason why John the Baptist might have had momentary doubt. Here he had been converting thousands of people and had a ministry that was quite significant among the Jewish people. And his message was the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he expected, undoubtedly, for that kingdom of heaven to be revealed in this time of his life. What had happened is that the forces of evil seemed to be stronger than the forces of good. How else can you explain him being in this precarious dungeon waiting to be beheaded? That circumstance would cause John, I'm sure, to wonder, well, why doesn't Jesus do something about this? Why doesn't he announce that the kingdom has come and take charge and free me from this prison? one would understand that to be true. Whether it's impatience, because John thought, why is he waiting? Or whether it's doubt, is he the one that really is to come prophesied in the Old Testament? It's impossible for me to say one way or the other. But I see both of these elements in the story, and both of them perhaps true in our own faith experiences. Sometimes we become impatient.